when you're feeling frail, you're not the only, we are all the same, in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Love is what we're after.
Amen.
We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall. And he so loved the world, sent his son to save us all.
Amen.
And all the people said amen.
Amen.
And all the people said amen.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord for his love. All the people said amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit who are torn apart. Blessed are the persecuted and the pure in heart.
Ooh,
blessed are the people hungry for another start. For theirs is the kingdom of God. And all the people said amen. You can join
amen.
Now. And all the people said amen.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. One more time in the verse. And all the people said amen.
Amen.
And all the people said amen.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said all the people said amen. One more time. And all the people said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we get those oak trees up.
Yeah. Amen. Just one so word. Amen.
So be it.
Amen.
Oak tree, you get up.
I agree with
it. Amen. 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 Amen.
That is so very, very
good.
That's
dominion.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's dominion.
Woo, glory.
That is exactly what dominion is.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That's why we say amen to somebody's prayer.
Yes.
Say amen to somebody's sermon.
Yeah.
They say something good.
Jesus.
They say something the way it ought to be.
Jesus.
Yeah. And we all agree with them.
Yeah.
But you took it deeper. It's dominion.
Dominion. Exactly.
Authority.
Exactly. We agree with it. We speak it like he spoke it or she spoke it. We all speak it together.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory.
It's
y'all gonna be shouting amen.
How was that drought broken? Y'all
prayer.
Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
How was the drought broken?
We prayed. we took authority over it. Mm-hmm. Right here.
Did we pray?
Yeah.
Yes. But we said amen. We agreed with it. Amen.
We took dominion, amen. Didn't we?
Yeah, yes. We did.
We took dominion. Mm-hmm. I prayed. Mm-hmm. All right. God showed me. He said, this is the way you do it.
Amen.
A little bit of rain in the beginning, gradually increasing, right?
Yeah.
So we don't wash all the dirt away. Right? Remember
yeah.
that?
That's right. And that's
remember
how it happened.
Uh-huh. And what did we say? We came together and we said, all right,
amen.
We're going to speak that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The praying's been done. Now's the time for us to do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
We spoke it, and what happened?
Started
we got more rain. We know what to do with it.
It was probably
but the drought is officially over.
Amen.
I heard it a couple of weeks ago.
That's
I
been
read
like
it.
Two or three
and
years
it said, the drought all over Alabama was
Ooh,
extreme
glory.
Drought
yeah.
last year about this time. Uh-huh. It's totally gone.
Totally Amen. Gone.
Totally gone. A year and a half ago,
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Year, well, a little bit, no.
Yeah.
It was, when was it? It was last fall, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So dry, last right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't even a whole year.
Last fall was very dry.
Wasn't even a whole year. We were in extreme drought.
Yeah. I've never seen so many dead pines.
Flash floods. Maybe we need to start speaking against them. I don't know. But, you know, now the aquifers are full, the reservoirs are full, right?
Yeah.
It's because God's people came together in unity and spoke dominion.
Dominion.
Yes. Dominion.
Spoke dominion.
Jesus. Right?
Amen.
Yeah.
So, we have power.
Yes.
That's right.
We are not a church who just speaks the word and tries to convince people that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
There's power
in the word
in our
of God.
Words.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
There is power in our words.
Amen, amen, amen.
We can speak dominion.
Yeah.
You see.
Jesus.
And the Holy Spirit will back up our words.
That's right.
Jesus.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the people will see it and say, that church is powerful.
Amen.
I'm not sure I want to be around them. But my sinful state, I better repent so I can come and be close to them. Because right now I'm in bad shape. I don't want to get close to them. Right? You understand what I'm saying? That's what they had in that early church, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
He said all the people were afraid to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the church was adding, the Lord was adding to the church.
But there was a magnet that was pulling
all along, them. Right? Yeah. All along.
Because
they wanted to be around someone who had some power to help them.
Yeah.
To be around somebody who had some power to help them.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, this is so nice, but I'm gonna erase it and make a little room here. I think we all got this right now. And he can put it back up if he wants to.
Yeah, we'll remember better.
If y'all remember Friendly Beauty, okay?
My Bible got it written in it, so I don't have my little note things on the side says all their names.
Let me ask you something. You guys know this, probably you ladies too. How do you break a bicycle?
How do you break a bicycle?
How do you break a bicycle?
I guess you wreck it.
Tires?
I'm sorry.
The chain.
Start with the tires.
The chain.
Chain.
I said break the wheels.
Break the wheels.
Wear it out.
Wear it out. Give it to a 12-year-old.
Put it in a shredder. Give it to Dick to hack on to when he was alive. He'd get mad at the kids and whatever they had in hack on because he was scared it was going to hurt them. He didn't do bicycles, so just a trampoline later.
You can go down the hill going 90 miles an hour with a chain on your bicycle brakes, and then you'll find all kinds of things.
Yes.
You ever heard that song? I mean, I'm going down the hill doing 90 miles an hour with a chain on my bicycle broke.
Yeah.
I never heard it.
All crazy old song.
Who
anyway,
sang it? Do you know?
So we know how to break a bicycle. A lot of people struggle with something. Another cycle.
A cycle?
Start out with sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a realization of the sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because some people don't even realize it's sin.
Right. There's got to be a realization, don't they? Mm-hmm. Some people are serious conscious. They think sin is good. They call good evil, evil good.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, when they realize they have sinned, they feel sorry. Feel sorry that they've sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So then, the next thing is they repent. Change their mind. They start, I don't want to do sin. I want to stop. I'm not just going to go feel sorry. I'm going to change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to start hating sin, right? Love a sinner, hate sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they repent, of course, the next thing to do is get baptized, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what if you're a Christian? I've already been baptized. Mm-hmm. But I'm still doing this cycle here. Well, Roman Catholics had a way of doing that, right? They said, the Roman Catholics said, confess your sins and be absolved by the priest. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
They formalized it. David, he would write a song. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. When he sinned, he'd go and write a song. He played the song of God. Mm-hmm. You know, and you would hope, he hoped that he would get his sin forgiven. Mm-hmm. Roman Catholics say, come confess your sin in the little confession booth, and mm-hmm. the priest will formally absolve you of your sin. Mm-hmm. Let's go on. So after you get baptized, then you're going to do right. Oh, I hear a laugh. Mary, tell me what you're laughing about.
You'll do right sometime, but not all the time.
Because...
You should grow in doing right. Let's put it that way.
Because somewhere along in here, you're gonna repeat the cycle, aren't you?
Yes.
Somewhere you're gonna repeat the cycle. It may be down here, or you may actually start over back at Peter somewhere. Repeat the cycle. Well, how do you? I mean, this is a problem. You know, church people, especially Christian people, they come to church, you know, and you talk to them, and they get stuck in the cycle. Mm-hmm. You know people like that? Mm-hmm. Might know people like that? Mm-hmm. If you're working with the world at all, probably know people like this, right?
We're that way ourselves.
King David seemed to be that way, yeah.
We're that way ourselves, because you have an evil thought to God that's worse than murder. When you think evil about somebody, he calls it murder.
Yeah.
It's not physically murdering somebody, but when you do that, but see, this is my belief, if y'all can take it or not. Jesus died for every sin that I will ever commit. That's all covered and gone. In my spirit, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's perfect, hope, and holy, and that's where God dwells. But because of my outward emotions and my soul and my body, I sin in that area, and I have to do that to keep my fellowship with God close, where I am protected and here and do the work. But as far as my salvation inside, that's perfect, because that's where God dwells. I was created a new creature in Christ Jesus. God, Jesus took care of every sin I've ever committed, future, present, and past. There is a point that the Bible teaches, because I'm still, and I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. When he comes in, I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. But the Bible teaches there is a point. If you know enough, and you're strong enough, and you willfully know it, which most people can't do, that you totally reject Jesus and that spirit leaves, you can never be born again. But that's very, very, very rare, because most Christians don't know that much. But there are people, because we're still a free agent, because the Bible will, if you look at it, you see salvation, eternal security, and you see losing your salvation. So, but it's not like I'm born again 1 week and 3 months later I repent and born again. There's no way.
There's no need to come back.
If you reject him, you're gone.
Be rebaptized, is there?
No.
You know. So I didn't want to get into that side of it.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. You know, we got that. But I want to look at it from the human side.
Which is your soul and your flesh.
How do we look at sin? You know, what do we do about this cycle? We get stuck in this cycle. How do we break this cycle? It's not a good cycle to be in. We know how to break a bicycle. How can we break the soul cycle? This cycle here, you know. How do we break this cycle? How do we, you know, it's what I've been talking about, right?
It's a relationship. Mm-hmm.
This is what I've been talking about. Thurston touched on it, right, this morning. How do we break this cycle? How can we stop this thing? Mm-hmm. Occurring, because that breaks the cycle, right? If we can mm-hmm. break this thing right here, we can break the cycle. Mm-hmm. But how do we do that? How do we break that cycle? Is it even possible to break that cycle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
By drawing closer to God.
Drawing closer to God.
Praying the Spirit will help that a lot.
Somebody go to Matthew 5 and read the last verse.
Matthew 5.
Matthew 5 is a tremendous... It's the beginning of a tremendous sermon that Jesus preached, all about the kingdom. In fact, this was kind of a summary of the sermon he preached everywhere. Matthew 5, the very last verse. Now, he's told them all about, you know, the Beatitudes and being light and being salt, right? Mm-hmm. Then he goes into the law, says, I'm telling you, do this. You know, law says, don't murder. I'm telling you, don't even be angry, you know, da-da-da-da-da, right? Mm-hmm. He goes through all these things. And then, at the very end, he gives this verse. Who can read that last verse of Matthew 5?
Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Okay, I think you want to go to Matthew 5, not Matthew 6.
Oh, I did go to 6.
Be ye therefore perfect. Which my Scofield Bible says, the word implies full development, growth into maturity of godliness, not sinless perfection. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
It'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Don't sin. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're perfect, you don't sin, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? I have people all the time telling me, well, nobody's perfect. You can't be perfect.
So you're talking about your soul.
You can't be perfect. They tell me you can't be perfect. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jesus is saying what?
Be perfect.
Be perfect.
Be perfect.
As your Father is perfect.
Yeah. Now, why would Jesus, who is a sane man, tell me to do something I can't do? All right? So which one's right? Jesus, who says, be perfect? Like he says that like we need to be doing it that way. Or is it all these other people saying, nobody's perfect. You can't ever be perfect. You'll be perfect this side of heaven. Well, which one's right?
Jesus.
Jesus is always right, isn't he?
Amen.
He's always right. Let every man be a liar.
Yeah.
Because God's always true.
That's right? The way to do it.
Right? So if he is always right, he says be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Wait a minute. God in heaven is perfect in a different way than me. Because he does everything right first time, every time. Right? Does everything right first time, every time?
No.
Yeah, but not me.
Not me.
You see, he's got a standard of perfection that's way above mine. But I also have a standard of perfection. It's a different standard of perfection. There's a standard of perfection for the Father, and there's a different standard of perfection as of the Son. And Jesus showed us what that standard of perfection was for the Son. What did it say Jesus did? He learned and he grew. He learned and he grew.
Oh, God,
he
grew.
Jesus learned and he grew. Now, could he have learned if he already knew everything? Well, God knows everything, right? You see.
But that's the man part of it.
But Jesus is like us. God has one standard of perfection. We got to, you know, you judge him by it if you want to. Nobody judges God, but you know, you know what I'm saying? That we look at God and we say, you know, he meets his standard of perfection. But we have a different standard. Okay? And our standard is we need to learn and grow.
Yes, that's good.
What does it say Jesus did? He says he grew in stature and wisdom and stature.
What scripture is that?
With God and with man. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
But we are commanded to grow. It's not a suggestion.
Amen.
We as saints are commanded to grow.
Exactly.
Because we can.
Exactly.
To grow. Some folks just say, well, I just, you know, I don't, you know, have time to learn and don't have time to do. No, you are commanded by God to grow. It's not a suggestion. You know, some people just
And even if not for yourself, for other people. I mean, you want to do it for yourself too in your relationship with God. But just like that time you came to see me when I was sick. Okay, if you wasn't at that point to hear and know and know what to say to do, she wouldn't have been there for me. So don't be selfish. Be selfless.
And the fivefold ministry is put in place for what? Equipping for the perfection of the saints.
Yeah.
Now, we also are to learn.
Yeah.
Because Jesus learned obedience.
Yeah.
By the things that he suffered. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So he's our example.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're to be perfect, we need to be learning and growing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Learning and growing.
Uh-huh.
Learning and growing. You learn and grow, you learn, you make mistakes, but you keep learning, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we need to be careful not to call mistakes sins.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see, right?
There's a third part, learn and grow obedience.
Look at this. Somebody tell me the armor of God, real quick, the armor of God, where do you find the armor of God?
Ephesians.
Good. So, see how well you remember.
Lord's a good
of truth. What we start off with in the armor?
Lord's a God of all the truth.
Helmet.
Helmet of salvation, okay.
Helmet.
Of salvation.
A salvation. What's the next thing? Anybody?
Loins girt about with truth.
Belt?
Might not be in order.
Belt, truth, okay.
Feet are shod with the gospel.
Feet. We got shoes. We got the good news, actually.
Shield of faith. Breastplate of righteousness.
What else we got?
Breastplate of righteousness.
All right, breastplate. Or the armor, is we, you know, not breakfast, but breastplate.
Taking the word of God, that's part of it too. That's your prayer.
That's righteousness. And the last one you said?
Taking the shield.
The sword.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
All right.
Praying with all prayers and supplication in the
Holy Ghost. Word of God. All right, now.
Pray is
look at all these things.
How many are there?
Look at all these things. Tell me. Tell me. Do any of these things focus you on sin?
No.
Do any of these things focus you on things you might be tempted with?
No.
Well, here it is then. Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to break this cycle here, you want to break that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way to break that is not look at things that are going to tempt you.
Woo, that's good.
Focus on things that are going to help you
grow. Mm-hmm.
Grow and learn.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're mentoring someone and they seem to be just caught up in a sin cycle,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so many people we know are caught up in this cycle.
Mm-hmm.
They sin. They feel sorry. What am I going to do? I keep feeling sorry. I keep repenting. I go back and I do it again. There's a cycle. It eats me up. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Give them the focus not on the temptation.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Not on the temptation.
But on the word.
The relationship.
Yeah.
what he said, the relationship with God.
Amen.
Well, I'm finishing up.
I was just going to ask him, what is the whole armor of God? What is the whole armor of God? I just wanted to ask the class that.
Okay.
What is the whole armor of God? What are you putting on? I'm just going to save time. Christ.
You put on Jesus.
Christ is the whole armor of God.
Mm-hmm,
when you put on Him, mm-hmm. you're putting on the whole armor of God.
But put on Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
We have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to get it. We really have it down in us.
In the Old Testament,
when we study it,
they said, but who can know God's thoughts? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than... It wasn't in the Old Testament.
Yeah, but he wasn't taught. What people don't realize, he's not talking to Christians. He's not talking to the church there.
That's right.
He's talking to people that's not saved in that verse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Paul said, hey, we got the mind of Christ. We ain't got to try to get, we got it down in here. Now our soul, we may have to work with our soul to get the mind of Christ. But he gives us the mind of Christ. We got it. We ain't trying to get it. We got it. but our soul don't have it. Our mind, wills, and emotion, we have to train it to the mind of Christ.
We have the mind of Christ in our spirit.
Yes, that's
right?
What the Spirit of God is.
How does our spirit communicate with the outside world? Through our soul.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we have to take our minds and communicate with the mind of Christ. So if we want to know the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We have to transform it. Amen.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. That's right. All right, well, we have some notes for you. We don't want to keep them waiting. Yeah, I like that. Let David pray for us.
Amen.
Amen. All God's people said.
Amen.